Looks like we lost a bunch of people. Maybe my word is too hard. They got scared or something. Huh? Oh, long line for the parking. All right. Okay. Is this good enough, Don? Amen. So let's continue our talk. I mentioned this is not quite a message. I like to be very intimate with you, and I open my heart to you. And I hope your heart is open to me. And together we're open before the Lord. I trust the Lord is here with us and in our hearts, operating and touching and speaking and so on. Lifestyle. A brother during the break came up, and I got very enlightened by his speaking. By the way, these days in my service, I not only seek the Lord and receive much from the Lord, but I tell you, more than ever, I receive much help from the members of the Lord's body. I tell you, the Lord speaking through the body is almost as much as his speaking directly as the head. This is healthy. So the brother mentioned this. Recall, I'm back to Abraham, right? So here he is choosing to live this life of the altar and the tent. And according to Hebrews, he would be actually seeking another country, which is God's kingdom, and another city, that is Jerusalem above, that is the New Jerusalem. And that's what he was looking for. You may not realize this, but Abraham is the first person who is working out the New Jerusalem. It didn't even start with the New Testament. Why? The New Jerusalem includes all of God's Old Testament people and the New Testament people. And here is God's first among his elect in the Old Testament, Israel. He set the what? Example, as one who is just, what, living in a way with a view to that coming city that God would be building. I'm sure I don't know how much he knew and how much he has seen, certainly not as much as we have seen. But he was looking for that, and he was seeking after that, and he lived a life preparing himself for that. And even he lived a life testifying that. And so, what's my point in the fellowship of the brother? And that is for us today to work out and live out, or live out and work out God's eternal purpose to have such a city, which is the full and complete blending of himself with humanity as his eternal expression. To gain such a thing, Abraham deliberately chose a certain way to live. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, for us to really today build up the body of Christ, to advance the Lord's kingdom, to all these things, even to live the corporate God-man life so that the reality of the body would be among us, all these things. To do all these things, one thing has to be present. One thing has to be present, and that is how we live. We need to live in a way that would support our life and our service. We need to adopt a particular lifestyle that would be conducive to us working out the New Jerusalem. If you don't have a certain kind of lifestyle, it disqualifies you. Just like Gideon's 300, the way you drink, the way they drink makes them ready for war. They still have to fight the war. The fighting the war is not the drinking. But the way they drink, their attitude, the way they face life, the way they treat life, the way they handle life, the way they deal with life, qualifies them for the war. So today, in the New Testament, God, we're in a divine warfare, spiritual warfare, excuse me. And to accomplish so many things that God wants to accomplish, we're talking about the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. We're talking about propagating the knowledge of the word in truth. We're talking about building up a vital, rich, and full church life. That would be a place where God's people can be drawn to and live, including our meetings, including so many things. All these things, brothers, cannot happen if we have a wrong lifestyle. Do you get it now? I'm laboring on this point, huh? So how we live determines how we work, how we serve. So today, let's say we talk about living Christ, okay? We talk about living Christ. We all need to live the God-man life. Let me tell you, if you don't adopt a certain lifestyle, you cannot live Christ. You don't live Christ in that kind of lifestyle. It's you have the aspiration, bless your heart, you have the view, you have even, shall we say, the kind of understanding. But you don't have a living. You don't have the right lifestyle, and so you cannot live Christ in that kind of a lifestyle. So what I'm touching here is quite deep. Quite deep. And maybe it's something that we usually don't talk about in the church. In the church. But it is so, so essential. Do you believe Abraham will be in the New Jerusalem? I absolutely believe it. In fact, he's one of the patriarchs. You know, the 12 tribes of Israel, each one is a what? No, each name is on the gate of one of the gates. The foundation are the apostles of the New Testament. They are the gates where we come in. And so those are his children, his seeds. So, totally, Abraham will be part of the New Jerusalem. How? That's the question. How? Because he lived in a certain way that qualifies him to fight, to do so many different things, you know, recorded in the book of Genesis. He rescued his nephew, remember that? He interceded for his nephew. All are pictures of us today in the New Testament, fighting for our brother, caring for the saints, and all of these things. It was a very primitive type, very, very early picture of all of this, but nevertheless it was there. But what backs up all that work and all the doings and all those accomplishments a lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle? An altar and a tent. So, brothers and sisters, today I would like to call the saints in the Lord's recovery to come back, as it were, to this life. Let us rebuild an altar. Let us repitch a tent. Now, many of us have an altar or have a tent. But let's go clean it up as if we're doing it again. Some of us had it, but we lost it. We left it. We went to Egypt. We went somewhere else. I'm making the call to come back. Come back to where that altar was and repitch your tent there. And make a declaration to the whole universe who we worship and who we fellowship with. And I like this. The more I speak, the more light inwardly I receive. I said already, the altar is for worship, for consecration. This is the place where we identified with Christ as the burnt offering, the one who is fully for God and nothing else. Nothing else have any room or ground in this one. He said, I'm here to do my will, O God. Such a one, the unique burnt offering in the universe, we lay hands on this one by building an altar and thereby declaring that I am the same with him. I am one with him. That henceforth my life is to do the will of God. So, you have Romans 12, that when the apostle beseech us with many compassions, that is a plural, compassions, not just compassion, compassions, that we would offer ourselves, present our bodies, a living sacrifice. Do you see the word sacrifice? That's the altar. Present our bodies. These are the days, brothers and sisters, all of us need to represent our bodies. We all need to rebuild our altar. Even we had one. Even we may have two. We need to rebuild a new one. I need to rebuild a new one. In this moment in time, when the Lord is about to move forward. And there it says, what? This is our most reasonable service. And then after that, Paul talks about what? Paul talks about, and do not be conformed to this age. Do you know what that is? That's the tent. Verse 1, on the living sacrifice, which we all are today in Christ. And verse 2 is the tent. Don't be conformed to this age. That's lifestyle. That's how you live. Don't live like the age does. Don't live like the people today live. You know, today people live in a different way than the 60s when we were growing up. Today there's a different kind of lifestyle, different kind of emphasis. Today, if you are with it, you have to live that way. You have to do that thing, do those two things to show that you are in style. And that's the age. Every age have a style or many styles, sub-styles in one age. And today everyone is, because of the internet, just like lemmings, like what these rats that would jump off the, following the first rat to jump off the cliff, just mindlessly adopting whatever lifestyle it is. To women, there's a certain kind of style. To men, there's another kind of style. You have to have work in Silicon Valley. You have to accomplish that. You have to make that kind of money. Otherwise, you are not in style. You have to go here and you have to go there so that you're in style. Otherwise, you're out of it. And before long, even we in the church life are caught up to pursue the lifestyle of the age, which is to be conformed to this age. And it says what? It says, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That means we need Abraham's mind. We need another mind. Because how you think determines how you live. If you think this is important, you give your life to do this. If you think you must have this, otherwise you have not made it, you give everything to get this. You know, today, you know, the college admission scandal? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because these parents think, if my child doesn't make it to Yale, or my good old USC, then you're hopeless. Then you're banished forever. You will never be part of the elite. You will never be looked up to. You never get a job. So I will do whatever it takes to fulfill this lifestyle. Actually, you know, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, let me tell you just my two cents. You don't need to go to Yale. You know, I'm talking to immigrant parents. So many want their kids, you must. Gun on the head. At least make it to Princeton. How about UPenn? Well, at least UCLA. No? No? I say a big no. You don't need to go to Harvard. You don't need to go to Yale. You can go to a good old junior college and get a good education. Then you transfer to another school. See? But if you think Harvard, 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 that's your lifestyle. It's an unrenewed mind. And that puts you on a certain track. Because you start to have to live that way. And you have to work so many hours, otherwise you're not hip, you're not, you only work 40 hours, what's wrong with you? We work 80. It's called workism. It's causing terrible stress in people. And you've got to make X dollars by X age. All these things to work, to go to school are drinking water. They are necessary things. But how are you drinking them? No wonder we have no time to live Christ. Christ. No time to fellowship with the Lord. No time to be in the Word, because these things are not important. This is important. I've got to be that. So you got these pictures on Instagram, you have to look like that. You have to take pictures of yourself from a certain angle. Yeah, today there are girls, their whole life is to look like that. And if you're not like that, you'll be bullied. You'll be an outcast. Do we have to live in the prescribed way of the world? Are we aliens or not? Are we strangers or not? Are we sojourners and expatriates or not? And I really mean it, brothers and sisters. We have a different value system in Christ. We have a different set of metrics. We measure things differently. I am not saying we don't fulfill our responsibility as we should. Don't take this message and turn it around, okay? For your less than noble purpose. I'm not talking about that. But oh, friends and sisters, and we all, myself included, the time on this, you know, I'm going to get into time and all this now. Okay. Our brother Lee said this, and I echo him. I like to follow my senior co-worker with his unfinished burden. He said he was in the 80s. He was so burdened, concerned for the Lord's recovery, being in a dormant state, in a barren, unproductive situation. He must find a way to have a breakthrough, especially in the United States. So he went back to Taiwan to research what he later called the God-ordained way. And he said this, he said, I need some saints who would stand with this and would offer themselves to take this way for the sake of the whole recovery. Sometimes he said, if there would be 50% of the saints. Then he said, if there would be 1/3 of the saints. Then he said, if there would be 1/4 of the saints. But this morning I would like to say, if there would be 1/5 of the saints. So if the church of 100, there would be 20 such saints who would really take this way, he said, I believe the Lord will have a breakthrough. We'll have a new church life, a new, the Lord's recovery will have a way to go on. He didn't see this happen in this country. The only comfort he had was Russia. Russia. And so, brothers and sisters, I am very, very much in fear and trembling, as are the brothers. I have no interest to stir up some movement, some campaign, some gospel campaign. If there would be a prevailing and consistent and fruitful outreach and the preaching of the gospel, I believe it will come from the way we live. I believe if we, the Lord, have grace with some hundreds of saints, we have 3,000 saints in this area. 20% would be 600. If there would be 600 brothers and sisters, not that we're better, we're not saying those who would not rise up in this way are bad. Please don't take this. That's wrong. We are all brothers and sisters. There's no special elite group. But God's working principle is always the principle of Nazarite, and that is the voluntary offering. That in special needs, days of need, and times of war, there would be people who would rise up. And you know, in war, you don't live the same way. You live in a wartime with a wartime lifestyle, a wartime attitude. Am I correct? Because the nation is at war. And these saints, not by anyone's stirring, not joining any movement, but by God's beseeching mercies, but by Christ's constraining love, but by seeing God's present need, and by joining with Christ to meet that need, who sees the condition around and receive a commission, as it were, to be part of that group of people that will face that condition. I tell you, the Lord will have a way. The Lord will have a way. Let me come back to this. The altar is for worship, and the tent is for fellowship. I tell you, those who live in the principle of this altar and the tent, you know, I'm repeating myself, are truly those who are conditioned or positioned to work out and to build up the New Jerusalem. Again, forgive me for sounding nostalgic. It's not my intention. But years ago, we hardly have known that much or have all these riches and experience and so on, like the Lord's recovery is blessed with today. The Lord's recovery today is actually very rich. Even the saints are part of those riches. You know, those who've been to FTTA, you don't know how blessed you are by those 2 years. But I can tell you this, in those days when things are more not like this today, certainly we would never raise, we could never raise $7 million in 4 months in those days. Am I right? Most of the brothers are pool cleaners, you know, gardeners. I distinctly remember 1967, the famous Six-Day War. Do you remember the Six-Day War? You know, that's when Jerusalem was retaken, the Six-Day War, Israel. And because of that, Brother Lee jumped up, right? Brother Lee was so excited, and he began to speak prophecy of the end times. He began to speak that very much. And in those days, we lived like there's virtually really no tomorrow, that the Lord is coming any moment. Any moment. You know, we have a song in our supplement about the Lord's coming. What is that song? I forgot. About the dear bridegroom or something. I forget something. Okay, those were written in those days. I mean, you can tell from those songs how that kind of expectation and longing for the Lord to come back is so real, so real. And my goodness, one thing I can tell you in those days is our lifestyle. We cannot boast about too many things. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, we live with nothing but an altar and a tent. And I live until the time I was married, bouncing from brother's house to brother's house. From cot to cot, not even beds, cots, you know. Crash pad to crash pad. I don't care. Well, you said you're not married, you don't have much. That's true. But I'm talking about our thinking, our reasoning, our mindset. We were just passers-by. We were just sojourners. We were travelers. We're not of this world. We can go anywhere. That's why we have this great migration. So many saints just move. And everything they have fits into the small trailer, you know, small U-Haul. You remember Brother Ron talk about his U-Haul got burned, you remember? You know, that's how we live. You know, like a tent, you know, it's all in one U-Haul. I tell you, because of that, the Lord's move in this country was, at that time, prevailing. Absolutely prevailing. And we didn't have that much, know that much, but prevailing. So much so, Christianity was stirred up and considered us one of the biggest threat. Yeah, this is history. Brothers, you know what the Lord's recovery is missing today? It's not even in the truth, because we have it. What we're missing today is that vital element, that power, that dynamo that pervades our Christian life and our church life. You know, those days, people come and they don't know what hit them. They don't know even what hit them. They just know something is terrible here. Terrible meaning, I mean in the positive. Something is terrifying here. Something is, it's, God is among you. I tell you, that element of vitality, of power, of convincing attractiveness is a result of a lifestyle. Sure, we were calling on the Lord, we were pray reading the Word, you know, all of that. But I tell you, without that lifestyle, you know, by the way, Abram built the altar, pitched the tent, and called upon the name of Jehovah. Even the calling is backed up by those two things. You know, if you don't live that way, even your calling is weak. Even our prayer reading is not prevailing. Our meeting is weak and unattractive. We couldn't even bring our new ones to our meetings because it's kind of dead and kind of you know what the world is looking for today? They are looking for real, sorry for the pun here, a real alternative lifestyle. They want out. They want to get out of this rat race. But there's nowhere to land. There's no alternative. So they're stuck in this thing. Day in, day out. But sorry, some of the church people got on that thing rather and joined the rat race. I'm talking about a lifestyle. And so we may pray, read, but this, it doesn't feel like we're lifting the roof off. We call on the Lord, but it doesn't mean like, doesn't feel like it's so powerful and dynamite, you know? Empowering. We carry on with the church life. It's somewhat mediocre and lukewarm. And Brother Lee, in 1993, he targeted two things among us as an obstacle. Number one, the deadness of Sardis. Number two, the lukewarmness of Laodicea. He spoke that. Deadness and lukewarmness. And brothers and sisters, no amount of stirring up will cause us to be not dead and not lukewarm. You know, just, you can just stir something up and it will pass. But I believe, brothers and sisters, the adoption of a different lifestyle will give us the base. Even to allow us to sustain a revival. And we were in a revival, Jim. We were in a revival. But a revival that is supported and backed up by a lifestyle. Today, I'm making a call, brothers and sisters. And that is, let us all examine our lifestyle. Be before the Lord. The altar and the tent. There are a lot of things I didn't even cover in this booklet that Brother Nee talks about, this very precious. He said, actually, everything that we are, have, and do needs to go to the altar first and get burned. Whatever that doesn't get burned goes to the tent. That means it goes to God first, and God will leave some for you, for your livelihood. Nothing that have not passed through the altar can end up in the tent. And whatever is in the tent actually has passed through the altar. For our needs, for our living. Now, brothers and sisters, we all are different. We all live differently. We're all in different stage in life. We all, you know. So we should not compare and, you know what I mean, and do this kind of thing. And let me say this, that altar is for worship, and the tent is for fellowship. And Abram and Sarah and the children live that way, which really means that to the world, they are just nothing, right? They have nothing. They are strangers, sojourners. but that is God's only landing spot on the earth. That's the only place God will visit on the earth and nowhere else. He would go to that little tent. That's his spot on the earth. He would receive what is coming forth from that altar. The only place he will receive something from the earth is there. On the whole earth, it's only one, that little spot. So much so, he would choose to spend long time there. I don't know how long the Lord was there with the two angels there. I don't know how long. But it's like, I love living here. God is saying, that's where I belong. The tent is where I belong on the earth with you. The altar is where I get satisfied from the fragrance of the offering. This is happy place on earth. This is my Disneyland, you know. To God. Think about this, dear saints. Do we not want to have a life or a living that is attractive to God? Where God would love to visit you and spend time with you and open his heart to you and hear your prayers and accept your offerings? Actually, all those intimate relationships between Abraham and God is a kind of Old Testament blending and mingling of divinity with humanity. He was building the New Jerusalem in two persons, Abraham and Sarah. There God was already making them part of the first part of the New Jerusalem by this kind of communing and fellowship. I told you the story of, sorry, free speaking. I don't care. Okay, forget about everything. Watch Manee's testimony of the first Lord's table in the Lord's recovery. How many of you remember that? Okay, most of you. He said, This is 10 years after Lord's recovery began in Fuzhou, Brother Ni's hometown. When he was a student, he and a couple met together in, I think, the couple's apartment. Student housing, I don't know what it was. And there, they decided they have to leave the denomination. They quit the role on the denomination's book with the names. They don't know boundary, locality. They don't know any of these. They just know that's wrong. They need to come back to the Bible. They need to meet separately. And so here they are. And how old was he? 19? 20? And they met. And they broke bread for the first time. That is our first Lord's table in the recovery, 1921. Brother Nies, very touching, very moving testimony, 10 years later, recalling that scene, he said, I still remember that the bread was stale and the wine was sour. But I can never forget how close heaven was to the earth. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what do we want? Do we want our lifestyle that satisfies our needs and desire to be up with the age? Or do we want a place where heaven is one with the earth? That's fellowship. That's fellowship. And we know the ladder that connects heaven and earth is Christ. Am I right? And the angels would come up and down as the ministering spirits. Brothers, if we have this situation in our personal lives, in our married lives, in the church life, I tell you, this is the Lord's testimony. This will be undeniably attractive. And so, I leave you with this. What's the time now?
It's almost 1.
I miss what I'm supposed to do here this morning. Because the time is so short, I think I better not get into the things because it will distract from the burden. Amen. Are you good, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Amen. Let us take this kind of speaking a word very much to the Lord. I don't think you should make some decision and do something. I think you should take this word, ask from the Lord, and really, even us older ones, all of us, would bring this to Him and consider this matter and pray about this matter and even to pray to the Lord about this matter. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know how I did this morning, but that's all the time I have. I was going to say more about talking about lifestyle, our time, how to budget our time, how to spend our time in a very quite specific way to meet the Lord's need today, but we have to do it another time. Is it about 5 minutes or how many minutes? Okay. Well, maybe I should just stop here. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you don't feel like you came here for nothing. Huh? You okay?
Amen.
Amen. I think it's still good to have several minutes of prayer. Right? Either by yourself or with someone next to you. Amen.
Amen. I think we all have been deeply touched. I believe the Lord Himself spoke, and that means that we should take time at some point, even today, to bring these matters to the Lord. Whenever a wise older brother once said that whenever the Lord touches you through a speaking, it's your obligation to bring that back to Him. And when we do this, I think we will find that the Lord is speaking to us not only in a general way, but also in a way that would touch our living and our lifestyle. And that provides a strong backing, support for a different kind of living. Go ahead.
I forgot just short, I was quoting Romans 12, verse 2, and I didn't finish it. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Don't be conformed to this age. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove by testing what the perfect will of God is. So, brothers, right there is a life that put God's will to the test in a positive way. So, dear saints, it's our living that would bring in the working out of God's perfect will. Do you see this? And listen to me. After that, you then have verse 3 and other verses in chapter 12, which is a whole chapter on the functioning of the members, the service of the saints to build up the church life, the body of Christ. So these first two verses are very, very important. I would encourage you to get into them. And then the last thing is notwithstanding the fact that we are talking in this way, but still we should never forget the source and the motivation of all our willingness and desire to offer ourselves to the Lord in this way is still His everlasting love. It is still His deep compassions. It is still His constraining power that will cause us to live this way. No one can just by their own make such a decision to live in the way Abraham did. So may His love fill us, huh?